Hey, this is Tom Zoller, creator of Long Distance and Warning Label, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Unleash the geek in you.
This is Kevin Conroy, and I am the goddamn Batman.
This is Geekcast Radio, and it's episode 338 as far as I know. I am, of course, TF2, and Mike. Joining me once again for a Comic-Con recap is Christopher A. Morton. Hello, sir.
Hello, greetings and salutations from the West Coast in Tabtopia.
Well, there you go. And Mr. Matt Crowder. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. It's nice and chilly in my room.
Yay, same here. If it ain't below 69 degrees, there's a problem. And today we've got a bunch of con catch-up, no mustard. Because these guys have been doing a lot of cons since the last one we did, which was episode 316, I think, which was last year? I don't even remember.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while, but it's okay.
Probably would have been Rose.
Something, probably. Let me look really quick here. So what have you guys been up to? How many cons have you been since then?
Not a lot, actually. We didn't do Fan Expo this year. We've been busy getting ready for a trip ourselves to go to Scotland, so all money has been kind of reserved for that.
There you go. Yeah, 316 was FanX Portland and DC CCCCCC 2023.
That's right. We did the two for. That's right.
Yep. So since March of 2023, how many cons have you guys been to?
We did Rose. We always do Rose. And then we did, if it ECC, then we would have done
SummerCon.
Yeah, we did SummerCon last year, and then we did Rose, and then we did SummerCon this year.
Yeah, we actually skipped Emerald City this year. Emerald City's gotten pretty good. I mean, big. And
it's so massive.
It's in its new complex, which it's nice. I mean, it was pretty, but I just didn't have the pool of celebrities that SummerCon has been able to create. They're not only getting celebrities, but they're getting whole cast panels together for their con, and they organize it so much better. The way they broadcast it, the way the website is designed, for what's a newer con on the circuit, they've far surpassed Emerald City and Rose City Comic Cons in their presentation and layout.
And their gets, their celebrity lists are pretty impressive compared to Emerald City. Like, Emerald City will maybe get a bigger named actor, but they'll base the entire con around that one person, like Hayden Christensen or something like that. Where here they're all over the place. They'll get the entire cast voice actors of like One Piece. They had SG-1. the full, like, Christopher Judd, Amanda Tapping, they were just all over the place, and they didn't care.
Yeah.
So it branches out to a lot more fandoms.
How old or young is SummerCon?
It's a relatively new con. I want to say what?
We missed
1 year. We missed 1 year. We missed the first year, and then we've been to every single one.
Yeah, this was number seven. This was number seven for them.
Okay.
And they have just organized very well. The layout isn't bad either. Last year, the downside of the con is they had a special ticketing for big panels. So once you got in the con, you had to register for the panel for a placement. And that got a lot of blowback because just it's not the way cons are done. Everyone goes to cons, they know first come, first serve to the panel when the panel opens up. Yeah. So they actually took a step back from that this year, which I'm really happy they listened and they decided to revert that idea, so it became a first come, first served. They turned the main stage a little bit. I liked the better layout of the main stage. Everywhere where you sit in there, you get a good view. It was a much, much easier to get into. And like I said, you had panels coming in. To recap on some of the panels, we had the voice actors from Clone Wars. We practically had the two actors for all of Bad Batch. This is pretty much Baker does all of them. Of course, Demon Slayer was voice actors all came for that because that's now gotten big.
Yeah.
They had several of the voice actors from the Justice League Unlimited show up, which was pretty cool. Got to listen to a few of them. Smallville all showed up.
Tom Welling had to, he was only there for Friday, I think, Friday, because he got the flu, so he had to cancel the rest, but everybody else was there.
And then Sons of Anarchy and the Bias, man, they pulled those TV show actors in, and they were there, and there was some cosplay of that running around. And then I have to mention, which we're going to talk a little bit more about this, the whole voice panel of Hell of a Boss. Which is privately published from the own animation studios, which just exploded thanks for the full release of the new Has-Been Hotel on the Amazon Prime.
Oh. Very cool, very cool. Coming up, right, this year? It hasn't happened this year yet, right?
You know, Has-Been Hotel came out the first of the year in March. It turned out very good.
One of the episodes actually released on the day that they were doing their panel.
Oh, for Hell of a Boss, it did. Yes, that was
okay.
Yeah, that was Hell of a Boss released an episode while they're doing the panel, and everybody's like, "What?" Even I was like, "Oh, wow!" And what thing is they kind of launch and release their episodes kind of randomly, so you really never know when one's coming out. So having a release while the animation panel is up there, and they're like, "Well, we can talk about it a little bit, but we don't want to spoil anything." And it was one of the songs they released in the episode because every episode has a song, and it's an amazing song. The one thing Vivian has gotten right in her works is she picked up really great writers for her music, for the dialogue. It's fantastic. And she's really nailed it down when it comes into more musical comedy. And that's what helped a lot with Has-Been Hotel. When she got into Amazon Prime to do that, they actually brought in, they changed all the voice actors from the premiere, and they brought in Broadway actors because there's a lot of music in it. So they wanted the Broadway actors to be able to sing those parts as their characters.
Yeah, absolutely. Very cool. Very cool.
But that was great to see. I mean, pulling these kind of panels in from all about, you know, cons have become more not Comic Cons anymore, in which I'm almost personally, in Matt kind of agrees with me, they need to stop using Comic Con as the moniker for these events because
it's pop culture. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's a pop culture con.
Yeah, I had a brain fart there for a minute, folks, because I'm looking at the website and I'm like, wait a minute, June? It isn't that. Oh, yeah, it happened. Whoops.
Yeah, get back in June. And by luck, it was even that hot. It was actually really comfortable.
The Saturday when I first got there, there was no breeze, and I was like, "This is going to be miserable." But luckily, the breeze picked up and cooled it down really nice. Yeah. So outside the first couple hours on Saturday of it being open, it was a really good weather pattern for us.
So should we start a big negative that we saw in this con right away, Matt? I think we should. Artist Alley. We have to. So the one big thing about Comic Cons we love, and Matt and I for years worked in the artist alleys, and this was always a great artist alley. The whole lower level, one of the buildings, packed to the brim with a lot of independent artists. Phenomenal. They reduced that by 4/5 this year.
Yeah, it was a quarter of the size of what it was.
Tiny artist alley. In fact, we found artist friends that were rejected, who've been with this con for a very long time, were rejected their tables trying to get into this con, which is one of the few times I've heard cons rejecting artists, especially ones that have been established. makes me nervous.
The owner of the con, it seemed like anyway, that he sold out to a group called Sketch Artists Group, and they have some great talent for sure, but that's all he really booked was that company and all of their artists, and then a smidge of local artists like Lopresti and Emberlin that are well known in comic books for decades. So, like, you're not going to say no to them, but independent artists, cheap artists, something that a kid can afford. You're not walking up to Otley and getting a $750 head sketch. Like,
yeah, no.
Yeah. I mean, I was able.
Prices were much better this con for sketching.
Yeah. Agnes, I can't remember her last name, but she works on Teen Titans Go, My Little Ponies, Care Bears, and then like DC Power Girls or something like that. And she is a sketch artist person, and she was doing watercolored covers. Amazing stuff for like $70. Totally affordable, at least in my eyes. Maybe not so much for the anime crowd that usually don't have like two pennies to rub together. But like, I got a Bagley head sketch for $100. Bagley was the creator of Spider-Man 2099, Miles Morales, and Carnage. He worked on the Carnage book, and he was doing head sketches for $100. So that was kind of nice to see some of those big name artists drop their prices down, because there was people like Otley. For $750, you can get a head sketch.
Yeah, that's not bad. I think the Agnes you're talking about is most likely Agnes Garbowska.
Blonde, tiny little thing?
I don't know
if you had like a picture pulled up or something. Yeah. But she was fantastic. I highly, if anybody comes across her in at other cons, you should go talk to her. She was very friendly. She does time lapse videos to go with your sketch cover. So she sets up her phone and records her doing the sketch, and then airdrops it to your phone. So you have a time lapse video of her fast sketching everything with your one of a kind piece of art. I thought that was really cool.
What a dream. Curses, schmurses.
But yes, Agnes Garbowska is who we're talking about here, folks. And yeah, she's very awesome. And doing time lapse, that is so cool.
Yeah.
Except for Matt.
Yeah, she doesn't like apples. She does have an Apple phone. She has an Apple phone and like a Droid or something like that. So depending on whose phone, like what type of phone the person has, she'll film it with whatever phone. That right. way it's easier to communicate between the same things. Mm-hmm. Well, the Apple phone that she does not like decided to like freeze up or have an error, so I did not get one with mine. That's okay. My friend Sabu, she got one done, and then they airdropped. That airdrop worked. So
You know what they say, folks. You buy an Android because Apple, I mean, Adam and Eve ruined everything with an Apple. I mean, come on.
Yep.
Yep. Oh, man. All right. What else happened at SummerCon this year?
So let's talk about panel review, because it's very important about how the one thing I like about the Comic-Con is panels. So I did the panels. It was my little thing. We caught the panel for The Bad Batch. Fantastic job. It was beautiful. Well done. I thought they had a very good organization for the announcer who walked them through it, which is very important, because if you get into there, you need someone to control the flow of questions. And so you can get into the very intricate of why these people do what they do and how great it can be. So we get to all these. Now, the best one I've ever been to now was the headliner of the SummerCon, which was John Cleese. And people don't know who this is. This is a actor who spans decades, a British actor. He has been in so many pieces. And you probably all know him from, of course, Monty Python and the work he did with the Monty Python troupe.
Well, the most recent, if you are a younger person, is probably going to be Nearless Headless Nick. Harry Potter is probably the most geeky thing that he's been in that younger people would know.
And for us old hats, the best thing he ever did
was Fawlty Towers.
Oh, gosh, yes. And he got talking about that. It was great. First of all, when he gets up there, standing ovation. I mean, this is the guy, when it comes to comedy and acting, he's a legend. So big standing ovation. Very nice man. When even walking in, he's just the British gentleman all the way. So he gets up there, and the announcer was trying to lead this discussion. That was not going to work. He pretty much shut the guy down. He's like, I'll take care of this. I'm not my first rodeo. So he leads the discussion about his history, some cool little tidbits and all that. And it just listening to him was fantastic. Neely goes up to the questions and some people line up there. And I love it because, you know, a lot of times people will get to the podium and they're going to tell some life bit, you know, how you affected my life and my life was this and blah, blah, blah. He shut them down as soon as they started on that rant. He's like, I'm old. Get to your point or get out. But it was like pleasant. Like you couldn't walk away mad. It was just really pleasant. So he really kept the people down to their questions and he would tell them off. But it was fantastic. He went over everything. So that was the highlight. One of the best panels I've ever been to. I was on this guy's every word when he was speaking. It was, and the stories he told and the hijinks he used to do when he was younger to other actors was fantastic. So as we go throughout the day, one of the last panels we end up going to is the Hell of a Boss panel. Now, I'm very much Matt gives it away. I'm very much into the what Vivian has created between doing two of her major works in the same world, one doing a A23 running on Amazon Prime. Hell of a Boss is still privately produced on YouTube, and she's doing a fantastic job. And that voice actors are great. But when they got to the panel, one of the worst panel leads up there, what's his name, Matt?
Ming yep. From Comic Book Men.
Yep.
Oh, I hate that guy.
Yeah, so, yeah, this is right there starts off because he doesn't know how to lead. I've never seen him at all of my Comic-Cons, seen him do a good panel.
Oh, he's terrible. Direction.
He's terrible. Right off the bat, not even going into the history of going into, hey, you're working for an independent, you're not connected to any major studios, and you're doing very well. I mean, this has been an explosion, and they've been out for a couple of years, but the cosplay is just all over the place.
Honestly, I don't think he's ever seen an episode.
I don't think he has either, but he immediately opens it up to question. There was mistake right there, number one, which just derails this, because everyone that rushed up there were
13-year-old girls.
Yeah, like
every single 13 one.
Girls, and there was guys. But they had no sense of questions asked. They just wanted to hear these guys spit out profanity. And
No, that wasn't the only thing. If so-and-so and so-and-so got in a relationship, how would that be? Every single one of them. Every single one of them. It was like live-action fan fiction by 13-year-old girls.
It was bad. I mean, I got maybe... I mean, within 5 minutes, everyone but me bailed. I was hoping for some direction in this panel, and it just got worse. And just like, you're not telling anything productive about what they're doing or how they're getting to the point where they're at, or, you know, an independent artist got to this point. You're just letting these voice actors go up there and try to steer these 13-year-olds' fantasies, and it got disturbing. I was truly, utterly disturbed. One, they're talking about things you shouldn't talk about. So bad on the voice actors for just letting these people get them into these positions that have to talk the way they talk. I had to leave. I mean, it was one of the worst panels I've ever been to. So I went from a major high to a super major low within a span of an afternoon. It was terrible. Oh, and that left a sour taste in my mouth walking out of that con.
You guys ate some churros and then left.
Yeah. It was
churros were good.
And churros were really good. Parking was another issue on that place. We had some problems with that. I really hope they listen to their people and redo their entry spots on the map and their parking. But yeah, that was the major downside. So of the panels, we had a good mix. I caught four in the show. So it was nice. I like the area, some of them, because they're smaller and they're nice and open-aired. And that's what the nice about this con, it's open-aired. So it allows a lot more room for people to show up.
You don't have to smell the 13-year-old girls.
No, you do not. Yes. The odor in this con was a lot on the low level.
Shower? What's that?
We were not at an anime con. It was a regular comic con.
Yeah, except all the 13-year-old girls are the ones that go to anime cons. That's the one of the things of me and Chris saying that they really should stop calling them comic book conventions, because they're more like anime cons and pop culture cons than they are comic books anymore.
Yeah, true.
I feel like this was for them the awkward teen stage of comic book conventions. Like, they had really good ideas, they just didn't have enough filler to make it be whole. Because this is done at the Washington State Fairgrounds in Puyallup, it is a massive complex of buildings. Good use, small use, big use, a plethora of different ones. They had the video game area on the opposite side of the fairgrounds. Great building for it. The video game thing was great. They had like a theater set up there too, but you had to take golf carts out to it because it was so far removed and there was nothing in between where like the panels were at the center of the con and Artist Alley, and then you'd get in a golf cart and drive to the other side to play video games. Wow. So that was a little awkward. And then they shut down that shuttle service on Sunday, like an hour and a half before the con ended. And one of the parking lots, like Chris was saying, was out in that wing. And so anybody that was in the main area had to walk all the way to the other side to get to their car, because they didn't want to shuttle people over to the video game place because they thought it would be hard to get them out once, you know, nerds settle in, right?
Right, yeah.
And even telling them, like, my car's over there. Like, I just want to leave. I'm not playing video games. I just want to ride to the green lot because I'm fat and my knees hurt. And they were like, nope, can't do it.
This is year 7 of this convention and they haven't perfected this yet?
Well, this is the first time they use the you only had blue lot before, so there's only one entrance out. This is the first time they actually spread out to three different lots, more on the west side. And it was just weird because they've never really used the west side of the convention center. So this was the first time they actually used it. So they got a little bit of working to do for that. So we'll see what happens. But
like I said, it's the awkward teen years of just being gangly and your body's not filled out. Now that they've spread out and they have a blueprint for it, I'm hoping next year it'll be fuller. Like, maybe they'll expand Artist Alley. Please, for the love of God, expand Artist Alley.
Yeah.
But like last year, they just stuck the 501st in like a park. Like, they gave them a tent and said, here you go. This year, they were like, you know what? That was really messed up. That was terrible. Everybody hated it. Here's an actual building for the 501st and all the Star Wars voice actors, and we'll just have a Star Wars building. Yeah, and that was great. That was great for everybody. I walked over there. The building was cool. It wasn't like a swamp like it was in the tent the year before. So there's always growing pains with cons. You kind of got to give them a year to like, okay, what went wrong? How can we fix it? The only thing that is every year a problem is they have the worst line management at any con I've ever been to. There's just ungodly huge lines that nobody tries to wrangle, and they get in the way of people. They block artists from their booths so people can't go up to those booths because the line is so long that it's just, oh, this is just part of the line. Cool. Maybe somebody will buy something while they're bored standing in line.
Like, and I don't even know. Maybe next year they'll fix that.
Oh, they're never going to fix the line problem. I just hope that, you know, they have better moderators for the panels. Have maybe a timekeeper or something, a cattle prod to electrocute anybody that brings up fan fiction. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, but we can look at more. So as this con ends, doing the changes, let's touch bases on what's coming up next, which is for us, after we get back from Scotland, we have less than a couple of weeks, we're riding to Rose City Comic Con. And I want to highlight the difference between what SummerCon is doing for guests and what Rose City is doing for guests. One, Rose City doesn't really build paneling guests like SummerCon does. SummerCon goes for a fandom, grabs a panel of everyone they can from that fandom. And Rose City doesn't do it as much. They'll get one or two from the fandom, but not really try to focus getting a full group. Now, one of the headlining people that I actually appreciate is Simon Pegg. He is coming in for this Comic-Con. I think just like most Comic-Cons, he's going to be a main headliner. He's just established in this realm. So I'm really excited to see his stuff.
He is ranked like third on their panel.
Yeah,
yep. I'm looking at
their website right now. Yeah,
so, right now they're all Star Wars.
Yeah, so
they brought Breaking Bad, but you only got all the supporting characters in Breaking Bad. You didn't bother to bring the big guy himself, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, but you don't want to have the big guy in it. And I don't know about all that, but. Looking through Rose City, you got Anakin and Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
They're the leads.
Yep.
You got Rhys Darby, Kristen. So from Our Flag Means Death.
It's like the whole cast of that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I have an issue with whoever is doing their website, I understand it may only have had a few things here to list, but you list Star Trek, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and The World's End. You could have replaced Hot Fuzz or The World's End with Mission Impossible for Simon Pegg. I mean, after all, he is Benji in Mission Impossible, damn it.
Yeah. Well, no, Shaun of the Dead's a good one. I mean, that's a cult classic on top of a lot of lists, but...
No. But that's what I'm saying. You can have Star Trek. You can have Shaun of the Dead. You can replace either Hot Fuzz or The World's End.
Yeah, yeah.
You can replace one of those two with Mission Freaking Impossible. Because that's better.
The Blue's Clues is actually getting a lot of traction. Getting all the guys from Blue's Clues up there. But yeah, Matt has some stuff that now that we have confirmation of the Star Wars groupings, there's a couple things we need to get signed there now.
Yeah. I was hoping to just go and enjoy and like maybe get some signatures from comic book people, but Rosaria Dawson does not come this way. She is gonna be there, and Ahsoka just came out with her own standalone comic book last week. Ahsoka came out. Granted, I don't have the first appearance of Ahsoka. I wish I did, but that's a very expensive comic book. So I was going to get her, and then I'm assuming that they will probably also get the voice actor. I forget what her name is. It starts with an E. But
you mean Ashley, oh God.
Eccleston or something like that?
Yeah.
I would love to get both of them to sign issue number one of Ahsoka. I just think that would be kind of a fun book to have graded in my collection. That, and I'm a huge Ahsoka fan, so that's going to get a little bit expensive. I think I looked it up yesterday, and she's $125 for a signature.
Yeah, and before the entire internet gets mad at us, it's Ashley Eckstein. Is the voice actress for Ahsoka. You know, so as much as I would love to see and how cool it is to see Rosario and Hayden, I honestly wish Hayden was paired up with maybe
Obi-Wan.
Yes, and then have the two Ahsokas be together as a set. Ewan McGregor. Again, my brain is mush, folks. I can't think of stuff today.
It's so hot over there. You're cooling your brain down. It's just not there yet.
No, not there yet.
And that's if Hayden Christensen shows up. He has a reputation, let's say, of canceling. They never really give a reason, but you're like, I haven't seen him in anything for a while, so it's not him shooting something. They tell you when the actor's sick, and they didn't say anything. So where is he? And it's like the day of. It's always the day of. Every time I've ever gone to Emerald City, except once, did he cancel. The day of. And everybody was super pissed. So you might want to hold off on getting those autograph and photo ops taken with Hayden Christensen, because who knows?
He might not show up. Rose City is September 6th through the 8th, 2024.
Holy crap. Yep.
Very cool, very cool. Is that it, or is there one more for the rest of 2024? Is Rose City kind of the last stop before everybody hibernates for the winter?
Besides RetroCon, which is November, I think.
What, well, the Retro?
Video game. Yeah, the video game.
That's end of September.
End of September. We might pop in on that one. That's a lot of fun for Portland. Portland's really big into our retro gaming. I mean, we have a lot of pinball museum places. We have a lot of big arcade locations. So the RetroCon here is really great. And you usually have some major tournament, like Tetris tournament for the West Coast will be here. So those are kind of fun to go watch. So we'll probably pop in on that.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Is there anything else you guys would like to talk about as far as convention-wise? Is there anything else we need to hit for this one?
One thing I will say about the Washington State Summer Con, they had a lot of food options, which is usually not the case at cons. And some of it was questionable. There was one place that it seemed like everything that came out of it was gray, so we did not go there. But they had a lot of different types of food that you weren't just shoveled down with, like corn dogs and hamburgers, that there was options. And that was very refreshing to be able to get options at a comic book convention. So yeah, that was really cool.
I absolutely loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I mean, it is one of the best cons when it comes to food on site, because it's fair style, since it's being out in the fairgrounds. Even one of our acclaimed Northwest companies, Pronto Pup, was there. Yeah.
Original corn dog, baby.
And that's exciting to see that kind of connection to the Northwest being at these Comic-Cons, because that's the downside. Like when we went to Emerald City Comic-Con, is you built this great brand new building, but you never structured the food section very well around it, which, you know, these are businesses that could stay open even after the cons are gone. And I've always complained of these Comic-Cons, they don't have enough coffee stands. I mean, we're in
an age
of people addiction to caffeine, but they have the slowest coffee lines. And all you see is, like, you're throwing money away. You need to push people through. Have preset drinks. Don't make a lot of options. They'll make their choices, but get them out, get them in, get them out. And they just never give enough coffee options at these places.
No.
It's better at SummerCon. There are a couple of coffee, but not very many still. It is a little kind of weird that opportunity for money spending. It is nice because people aren't spending much on coffee. They might be able to buy stuff at the con, which is kind of cool for the vendors. But, you know, it's just the way the Comic-Cons are nowadays. They don't think past that part. And Rose City is no better. They're in a predicament where even last year they had one of theirs, they had a restaurant, and they were closed. Down by Artist Alley, that restaurant was shut down last year, which was really weird that, you know, 50% of your main restaurants in there were shut down.
Yeah.
So it ties it up there, and they only have three coffee spots around there, and those are always packed.
Yeah, the Starbucks is lying around the building at Rose City every year for the entire length of the con. There is never a slow moment at that Starbucks during the con.
I can't imagine spending hours of your time at Comic-Con in line for a coffee. It's just,
yeah.
You want to bring your own little espresso machine, and which I've seen sketchbook artists or independent artists, alley artists, they'll have their own little food options there. And I've seen a couple of them start selling snacks and small drinks at their booth.
Yep.
Just to offset some of the cost. Because I know table costs are being going up suddenly, and making that kind of money is not as, you know, known or seen as much anymore. Like back in the days, I mean, we get a booth and Matt and I helped manage a booth, and we walked out of there with quite a bit of change every day.
Yeah.
You don't see that as much anymore.
It's not one right. thing I would really like to see again, because some of the coolest people I've ever met were at comic book conventions. You used to have like massage therapists sending up booths, and artists and celebrities would walk over and get on their table and get like work done because they hurt themselves or they were just stiff from doing autographs all day. And there was more of a community with it. Now you have to be a big name artist, because if you're a small time artist, how are you affording like a $500 artist alley table?
Yeah.
Like, you just can't do it. Me being a massage therapist now, I would maybe break even if I opened up a table there, and you just can't. If you're a small independent business, you can't go experiment with comic book conventions like that. You have to be bigger than, you know, a small business, which just kind of sucks, because the community of comic book conventions can be really awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to break in when you're a small business. Once you've broken in, obviously, and you have the connections and all that, it works. But small businesses in this country are just getting hammered, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, Chris has a children's book that he put together. There is no way Chris would ever be able to get that book out there outside of having a friend that already has a table set up.
Yep.
There's no way that he could be like, you know what? I'll sell the books for like maybe 10 bucks a book. The table's 100 bucks, so I have to sell at least 10 books. And then the rest right. is all profit. That's doable. Now like I need to sell 50 books. Ugh. Yeah. I can't. Yeah. Oh, that might be all I sell for the entire time.
And honestly, when you're there, you end up buying other people's works too. So you're just making your cost being here much more. I mean, on top of hotel, food. Yeah, it gets a high level of cost just to operate. But that's why I work on trying to buy stuff from these local artists, like Thomas with Warning Label.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, hopefully he's coming back for Rose City this year, because I actually have a Gargoyles blank cover that I really want to get a Moose Gargoyle done on. And I saw he recently was over in somewhere on the East Coast, and he actually did a Gargoyles piece. And I'm like, well, that's who's doing it, because I can't find any Disney artists coming to did Gargoyles. So I'm going to get Thomas. I'm going to actually commission him to do a piece for me. But there's other
label.
Yeah. Thomas Taylor.
So, Tom Zoller. Yeah, I know Tom.
Yeah, I talk to him every year. He's at the Comic-Con. He's phenomenal. He's a great guy. And if I'm spending money, I backed all his books. And in fact, it was from this show where I got to know his work, because I knew him from the Top 100 comics.
Yep.
When I saw Warning Label going through, then you interviewed him and you talked to him a lot. And I got to know him more at Comic-Cons. Great artist and phenomenal writer. One of the few that really does both writing and artwork, which I very much respect, because that's very hard.
Yeah, it's been, oh God, next year it'll be 10 years since I did the first interview with him.
No way.
I'm looking at it right now. September 12th, 2015. Tom Zoller, long distance. Wow. Yeah. And he came back 2 years later in June of 2017 for Warning Label. Yeah. As soon as I was all in on long distance, and I have a whole history. I can do a whole podcast by myself just about that book. And we have. But Warning Label, when he released that, I was like, is this? He's done it again?
Yep.
Holy crap. And then he's got his Cupid's Arrows series.
Cupid's Arrows. Actually,
Cupid's Arrows. I need to look into that more. But
you didn't bring him back to talk about that one, because that is a great series.
Yeah.
I got the newest book he just kickstarted. He just got me in for his second book.
Oh, wow. Very cool. Yeah, I love Tom. Tom's amazing.
And I do want to mention another artist that you'll see him at Comic-Cons is Alex, Rachel, and Jerome, who do Beyond Western Deep, a great Anthro comic that I've followed for years. I've backed their works.
Are they going to be here this year?
No, because they just got done with their Kickstarter and they're moving on. But what's cool is they actually created an 8-bit, 16-bit video game that was really fun to play. When you bought it, you get this little code, it downloaded this little 16-bit game. It was like playing an old Nintendo. I loved it. So supporting these artists is very important. And that's why I think the sad part seeing SummerCon reducing the local artist stuff for more corporate people is a really telltale sign of a bad direction for any kind of Comic-Con, pop culture con direction. Rose City's still pretty good. We still have a very large artist alley. A lot of local artists are still involved with it. And I'd like to see that continue. I really don't want to see these cons start dropping it. Now, there are some other Comic-Cons in Oregon, event cons in Oregon that we'll probably go see. I'd love to go see, what was the Corvallis Gaming Con?
The game Corvallis Gaming Con.
It was just Corvallis Gaming Con? Yeah.
I believe so.
Stuff like that. We'd like to see some of those more. They're no local areas to help promote that. And that's the important part to anyone in any region. You got a lot of these gaming cons popping up there because they're trying to get away from the corporate vibe to do more focus on the artist himself. And you'll find it in these like local libraries and stuff like that. It's important. Got to check those out. Buy from these people. You don't need to buy a ton. Just buy something small. And it
stickers, helps them. Enamel pins.
Pins. I like pins. Pins are cool.
Yeah. Just little things to help small businesses. It's a community, and it unfortunately is kind of going away from that. And also, usually when you want to go with the big corporations, that means unionizing and healthcare, and they still don't have that for artists or anything. So there's really no... The only people getting rich are these corporations. It's not the artist that's actually producing anything.
And we know that firsthand because Matt has been, has a lot of friends, much larger artist friends with these larger corporations. And we've heard those sides of the stories. And it is heartbreaking for the creations they put out for us to love and appreciate, where they just don't see the benefits from it in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. It really just... Support your local artists, folks. I mean, yes, support the national ones too, but like the local artist is really how things, you know, get taken off. Like, that's what we need right now. We need, in Hollywood in general, but in comics and in other things, like, in order to get us new things, you have to support the new people. You have to support the people that are breaking out. Or just starting out and kind of things. And once you do, like, if you like, I mean, I can look at it right now and tell you exactly when I first, because it was my buddy Jesse Jackson who does Set Lusting Bruce and Perfectly Good Podcast right now. He's the one that turned me on to Tom Zoller because he interviewed Tom, I believe, on Set Lusting Bruce at one point or another, if I remember correctly. And he turned me on to that. And he said, Jesse talked to me about his first series, Love and Capes. But for me, long distance is what, and I mean, just listen to this, folks. While stranded in an airport, Carter and Lee meet and hit it off immediately. Problem is, he lives in Columbus and she lives in Chicago. Can they manage to have a relationship separated by 300 miles, a time zone, and the entire state of Indiana? Like, I mean, how do you not want to read that comic?
So if you get Thomas back on your podcast, I want to be there for it. I really love to chat with
okay.
him. His All works right. are great.
Yeah. Like I said, I read like the first couple of chapters of Cupid's Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
Cupid's Arrows, I believe it's plural. But I haven't kept up with it, so I need to go back and reread those.
His concept is unique and it's mm-hmm. beautiful. And that's what's yeah. so great about it's something you don't see other people writing. It's not another vampire story or another, you know, sci-fi story with the same kind of plot line. I've never seen a storyline based upon what he has created. And it's a lot of artists on the works when he hits some of these secondary artist sites that I love to see him at these cons where they can afford a table and meet the fan base. One I just started reading was How to Be a Werewolf. And that comic's been around for a while, but it's a phenomenal story. You catch it right away. Another one I just got tied up with was Timberline. which is another comic that I'm actually Patreoned that one right now because I love the, it's a beautiful story with beautiful artwork and it's independence. And I want to do more to support that. Wrong Side is another comic that I back up. Granted, Matt laughs at me because a lot of these are anthropomorphic comics. It's the ones furry. I like. Yeah, furry comics. But you
furry lover.
But it's still, you know, I do have a budget every month. I put aside $10 a month. And that's for Patreon to a lot of these smaller people that, you know, they're doing the work that they believe in. And it produces great pieces of art. My two nieces who are growing up, they're young ladies now. They're great artists. And I'm encouraging, please create stuff. Get it on the web. Let people appreciate it. Because it's one thing in this world, we can't appreciate work out there. And not just stupid AI work.
Ugh.
Please, it's not even gone.
No, we're not going to. I think all three of us can agree.
Oh.
AI needs to be used by humans. It does not need to replace humans.
Exactly.
I will say that the last year we were seeing AI artists at these cons. I have not seen any.
Yeah. They stomped that out.
They stomped it out. The cons did a fantastic job of rooting those people out and keeping them out.
Yeah, you gotta show progression of some of your major pieces on how you designed it, you drew it, and you designed it and built it from creation up. And if you couldn't prove so many pieces of your artwork that you created it, you weren't allowed in the con.
That's good. Honestly, that is very good. And that's one thing I think we should highlight here is that when you're going to conventions and you're an artist, you need to actually be an artist and not just use ChatGPT to do whatever or use whatever rotten Apple device you prefer to use, etc. Or even the Android devices too. No, both sides. Like, you know, it's not, it's a fun thing to think about and to whatever, but that to me is not. Art to me is someone, like specifically to comic books, since we've moved into that realm. You sit down on whatever you sit down at your desk or whatever, you have a piece of paper or whatever you got. You start drawing. If you have talent enough to draw, you draw it. And someone, in the case of Tom Zoller, who does everything, he draws colors, letters, all of it. You know, you do all the work. You then make the thing and put it out there. You don't just punch in a bunch of commands to a computer or whatever and say, here, make this for me. That's just, look, I'm one of the laziest people you'll ever see. I will most of the time take the easy way out if I possibly can. But at the same time, I have scruples enough to know that I'm no artist. I have no talent when it comes to that, specifically to drawing, coloring, etc. And like, yeah, no, you need to actually have the talent to do it. You don't need to just sit here and poke buttons on a computer or whatever to AI. I prefer actual intelligence to artificial intelligence. Thank you.
Let me know when you find both.
Do what? What'd you say, Matt?
Let me know if you find either one.
Well, you know. All right. Anything else for conventions or comics, guys?
Nah, I think we're pretty good here, folks.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of GeekCast Radio. I have no idea what's coming up next. Where can the people find you guys on social media? Chris, then Matt.
Mostly it's going to be me. You can find me at deedpodcast.com. I'm not very active. We're trying to get back on track. After 15 years, we took a big hiatus and life changes. But we should be getting back on there. You can also find us at Indeed Podcast on Facebook. And come check us out. Say hi. And if you really want more things to be creative from a different point of view, let us know.
Me, you can just find me on Facebook. And you can hit me up on there and either talk comics, massage, whatever it is. You can bullshit with me on there.
There you go. We are on all the socials. X, Facebook, Instagram. At least all the ones that matter. Sort of, kind of. We've been there for 15 and a half years or so. I'm at TFG and Mike most places. Instagram, it's TFG and Mike Presents. As I said, next time I have no idea what's coming up here on GeekCast Radio. We just did the 15th anniversary episode, last episode, And we just relaunched the website. So brand new website, geekcastradio.com. Go over there, check it out, and unleash the geek in you, and we will catch you next time.